T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Was the decision not to play Patrick Chung health-related, or did it have something to do with today's news?
New England Patriot safety Patrick C. Chung is scheduled to be in Belknap Superior Court next Wednesday to be arraigned on a charge of cocaine possession.
Yeah, Pat hasn't played all preseason.
Love me the cocaine.
Yeah, I think we released a statement on that.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me.
Some ships are made of metal, some ships are made of wood, but the best ships are friendships, and that's the way it should.
Rich Key.
Man, that was fun. That might have been the funnest baseball game we've ever played in.
Today actually was a really bad thing for baseball.
Dale and Keith, middays.
It's a f***ing Friday.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. The Patriots played their third preseason game last night at Gillette Stadium. Their first home preseason game after opening up in Detroit and in Tennessee. But last night, played host to Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Now, Cam Newton got hurt, supposedly not that big a deal. They said he's got a mild foot sprain.
It's like
or
every
something.
Week. The guy takes an absolute beating. Like whether you like
he didn't even really get hit that badly in this one.
But I'm saying in the regular season, he's the guy, whether you like him or not, it's sort of like how Gronk was treated, how Shaquille O'Neal is handled. Like it's the same kind of thing. Like, well, he's so big that, we'll let that go. Like, there's been a lot of issues with him. But, no, but overall, last night, I think the big takeaways, Dale, would be Jarrett Stidham took over for Brady and played the rest of the way. So, I think they've seen enough of Brian Hoyer, both good and bad. Brian Hoyer was actually good the first two preseason games. But it's just a matter of, do you want two or three
quarterbacks? As Belichick said, not that he shares a whole lot.
Yeah.
As he said last night after the game, they've seen a lot of Brian Hoyer.
They have.
They've got a pretty good idea of what Brian Hoyer can do and what he brings to the table. They probably don't have as good an idea. Now, despite what Skip Bayless says, I don't think what last night is an indication of is that they're going to cut Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham's your backup. That may be the case. I don't think last night's the indication.
But I think it was interesting to see because the third preseason game, again, everybody talks about it's the closest thing out of all four of them to the regular season. And for Stidham to come in the second quarter and to not even see Brian Hoyer, and it's not like Stidham was bad. It's one thing if he got the same amount of reps and looked atrocious, then you're like, well. Because I think as soon as they drafted him, you said, all right, well, is this going to be a year where they keep three, which they've done, Brady, Garoppolo, Brissett, Brady, Hoyer, Mallett. Like, they've done that.
Well, and doesn't Stidham to the practice squad make a lot of sense anyway?
No, not at all. I think he's the backup. He's a fourth-round pick. He's not a seventh-rounder like Edling.
He's a fourth-round pick,
I don't think you'd make it to the practice squad because you got to clear waivers. And Edling, everybody's like, all right, fine. He clears, then he's on the practice squad. I think Stidham is the backup, and I think Hoyer's gone. And I think the reason is you have so many good corners. You all of a sudden have a few more receivers than you thought, at least as far as roster spots are concerned. And so to make room for one of those guys that's actually going to contribute, whether it be in special teams or just depth to another position, I bet they're going to be okay keeping just the two quarterbacks.
If you were looking at positives and negatives from last night's preseason game, among the positives, Sony Michel.
Yeah.
Looked great.
Pretty good, yeah.
He had a 30-yard run negated because of a holding call to the wide receiver.
You're right.
Penalties in general. They've got to cut that crap out. Ironically, the week in which the other three coaches in Boston said the key to the Patriots and what Bill Belichick does is that they don't beat themselves, then they went out and did things that would normally beat yourself.
I was going to say penalties, the injuries, and another missed kick. And if you want to put the kick on the holder, fine. That's still part of the issue. That's still part of the problem. And with Ryan Allen gone, Gostkowski is going to have to get used to Jake Bailey holding, assuming they want to keep going with that and just force him into being good at holding, or maybe that's where Jarrett Stidham comes in. I don't know. But those would be the three kind of takeaways as far as negatives were concerned. you know, the injury thing, you know, Brandon King looks like he's done for the season. They got a few other scares. Damian Harris goes down. Van Noy, he comes back, but still he had to
Ben Watson's
leave.
In the concussion protocol right. now. Now, he All can't play the first 4 weeks, and obviously the expectation is he'd be fine by the time he's eligible to play.
But still, 38 years old and throwing another concussion onto the mix, like, that's just...
You don't need that.
And it's one of those ones, too, where every concussion's so different, where some guys, they're back in 2 weeks. Other guys, it kind of lingers. And so that just sucked. And we talked about it earlier, too, the Eric Reed hitting Ben Watson the way that he did, I don't think it was a coincidence. I think Eric Reed did it on purpose. If you missed it, Eric Reed, very outspoken about Jay-Z's partnership with the league now and saying, listen, like, you haven't kneeled like we have, and like you're kind of just jumping in here like you don't really understand what we're doing. And Ben Watson said that Eric Reed is wrong. He tweeted about him. He tagged him in the tweet. And then, you know, Reed's claiming that, you know, he didn't see the tweet or any of that. But it's a preseason game, and it's just an unnecessary late hit. It's not one where I think he's going to get suspended or anything like that.
No, but he'll get fined.
He will for sure get fined.
And
he knows he's going to get fined. But so that was just kind of like, what are we doing? Like, a couple of veteran players, you see a guy down like that, shouldn't you say, well, it's the preseason, I don't need to do this? Like, if that happened in the regular season, you'd say, oh, that was a little late. But you see that kind of a little bit more often. And again, Eric Reed's not a guy who is fighting to make the team and is doing whatever the hell he can and is just trying to make an impression and just, you know, he got away from him a little bit. I think he did that on purpose, and it's too bad that Watson now has to deal with a concussion.
So there's a quantum leap between Rich thinking that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the backup on this team and that Brian Hoyer is going to get cut. There's a quantum leap from that to where Skip Bayless wants to go, which is that Bill Belichick really wants to replace Tom Brady with Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, I don't think he may have to. If you want to say Tom Brady is going to be replaced by Jarrett Stidham, and it's because Tom Brady at the end of the year decides to go play somewhere else, or of course the very slim possibility that he retires. But there is a chance that Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback next year. But it's not because Belichick is just chomping at the bit to get rid of Brady. Like, I don't see it as that at all. I think both sides have to be kind of prepared for, you know, what life might be like without the other. And for the first time, you know, maybe if you want to say when they drafted Garoppolo, you thought, all right, well, Garoppolo at some point will be the future quarterback. But then Brady played so well, it just outlasted that. Then they had to move on from Garoppolo. And then last year, you don't really play with a true up-and-coming backup. So there was no thought of, wait, Danny Etling's going to be the quarterback. Brian Hoyer is going to force him out. So Jarrett Stidham has actually looked pretty good. He was a fourth-round pick. So there's a little bit of hype, there. And so I think it's more... It had a lot more to say about Brian Hoyer than it certainly did Tom Brady's status on the team.
Yeah, and look, Skip is the master of the
come up with something
hot sports take,
right. and it's preseason football. You're trying to come up with whatever you can.
Look, nothing I've seen would indicate that Jarrett Stidham is even close to being ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. His preseason numbers are at least similar to the first few preseason games that Jimmy Garoppolo played here. I saw the comparison of the preseason games that Garoppolo played his rookie year and what we've seen from Stidham. You know, that whole, you know, he doesn't even know what he doesn't know stuff is so obvious. He's got and when I say happy feet, I don't mean in terms of he's nervous. He gives up on pass plays way too quickly for me.
I also would love
he wants to go and just get running.
And, you know, on the one hand, you know, he's going up against a lot of second and third team guys. But then, to be fair, he's playing with a lot of second and third team guys, including the offensive line, which, you know, there's a reason why he gets sacked 5 times in the game. It's because sometimes he is running for his life. You know, some of those guys in front of him won't make the team, and then the other ones you're hoping just never play.
Right.
So he's not really in the best situation. But there's been a lot of buzz and excitement about him throughout camp. I mean, you read some of the beat writers. There was, you know, Jeff Howe and Phil Perry. They've been very high on Stidham and even comparing him to Garoppolo, not just game stats, but just what they saw in him and you know, arm strength, size, speed, grasp of the offense, all of that stuff. They seem to be pretty high on him. But you and I both agree, if Brady goes down this season, screw it either way.
They're booster points.
Yeah, you're not going to the Super Bowl and, you know, whatever. You try to squeeze out as many wins as possible, but you're screwed regardless.
But the point I brought up was not if Brady goes down, you know, long term. What if, and this hasn't happened, but what if he has an injury that keeps him out for a week? you know, what if he's got a sprained ankle and they say, you know what, he's not going to be able to play Sunday. He'll be fine the following week, but he can't play Sunday. Which guy would give you a better chance to win a game without Tom Brady? And I think Hoyer gives you a better chance.
Yeah, I still think it's Stidham.
By the way, Hoyer's had a really good preseason.
He's had a good preseason. And part of it is the unknown to me. Like, I don't know what Jarrett Stidham would look like in a regular season game. I do know what Brian Hoyer would look like. Like, we've seen it with other teams when he has played. And I have no faith in him. Like, I feel like, yeah, he might know the offense better than Stidham would. But can he make the same throws? Does he have the same physical ability as Stidham? No, he doesn't. So I would rather take the chance with Stidham. And then on top of it, it's the old, well, he may be your guy next year. Like, and it may not even be your choice as the Patriots. It might be Brady's choice to go on and play somewhere else. And you'll still have Stidham. And next year, week one, it's not going to be Brian Hoyer. It might be Jarrett Stidham. So even if it was only for a game this year that you had to see him, I'd rather get a little head start on that.
Jarrett Stidham has thrown 62. He's had 62 pass attempts. He's completed 43 of them. Completion percentage 69.4.
Nice.
506 yards, 8.2 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. His quarterback rating for the preseason, if you even want to use it.
Sure, of course we do.
Is 104.6.
Yeah. No, now, I think just watching him, and again, because all I did before was sort of read the tweets and read the articles about him in practice and in joint practice and everything else. So it's really just been the games that we've had a chance to see him. And it's hard to project because we've seen a lot of guys have successful preseasons and then they've been nothing in the pros, right? That happens every single year on every single team. But the fact that he hasn't been a disaster, it's almost like watching the NBA Summer League. Right, you watch the summer league, you see a guy.
You don't see a guy who can make the team. You can see a guy who
can't.
Who can't make. You don't know, guy can't play.
Right. So we haven't seen that. Like, that's the biggest test is you haven't seen a guy go out there and say, oh my God, like, does he. Like, I still remember when Brian Hoyer was with the Bears and he came into Foxborough in a preseason game and he looked like a guy who didn't know what was going on, didn't know the plays. I think he got picked off by Cyrus Jones. Like, he was a mess. Whereas at least Stidham has gone in there. Sure, he's made a few mistakes here and there, but he looks like he gets it. Like, he's not completely overwhelmed.
As I said to you before, I think he gives up on pass plays too easily. And to back that up, he's got the fourth most rushing attempts on the team in the preseason so far.
Well,
Nick Brossette, Brandon Bolden, Damian Harris have all run more times. He's got the same number of rushing attempts as Sony Michel.
Well, how many games has Michel played?
I understand. I'm just saying he's too quick to say, you know what, I got feet that can move and I'm going to head out there.
Yeah.
Hoyer has played less, obviously, but he's 18 for 22, completion percentage of 81.8, 2 touchdowns, an interception. His quarterback rating is 116.3. As we said earlier, he's played really well so far in the preseason.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things where he hasn't played so poorly, he's going to get cut. I think they just see that the younger guy that they drafted is playing well enough. Whereas, you know, we saw the year where Hoyer was still on the team with Ryan Mallett. Remember Ryan Mallett's rookie year? And I think it was because they said, well, Mallett's nowhere near ready. Mallett stinks. But then there was the year where they thought, all right, well, he's good enough, and then Hoyer's gone. You know, because like Josh McDaniels, you had Hoyer, he was gone, tried his lot on a couple of other teams, and then came back. So there were years where they felt comfortable saying, we only need the two quarterbacks. Then there are other years where they say, well, let's just cover ourselves and make sure we have this, this third guy, really. But this year, there was already a little bit of a buzz about it earlier in camp. And now I feel like Stidham has at least checked the boxes. And so that, to me, he was always, nobody's ever going to battle with Brady. That just doesn't exist. So it's those two guys fighting for each other. And then that creates a spot for a fifth or sixth corner, a punt returner, whatever it might be. I think those guys are much more valuable.
It'll be interesting to see. Now, what I would expect will happen Thursday is you'll see Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham split the game.
Yeah.
Probably 50-50.
And whoever finishes the game. Well, I shouldn't say that. If Hoyer plays the second half and Stidham the first half, don't you think Hoyer's gone?
I'm not convinced he's going to be gone either way, but I understand your point.
Right, but
I could see them keeping three.
Because fourth quarter, now we've seen it. I think Jason McCourty actually played fourth preseason game last year and then ended up obviously making the team and being really good.
Right.
But for the most part, like, what percentage of guys that play the end of the fourth preseason game are even on the team? And I feel like if Hoyer's doing that, that could be kind of telling. And maybe he ends up going. And then it'll depend on their other spots and how many guys they feel like they need to take. The wide receiver position, you know, Jacoby Myers, a lot of the guys that cover the team were saying he was a lock. And now you're starting to look at it as a numbers game, and you wonder
and
if that's
sure
still
he's
true.
A lock anymore.
I wouldn't call him a lock. I would have him on mine. I haven't done my Andy Hart, Ryan Hannibal 53-man projection yet, but I would have Myers on my team this second.
Obviously, the sample size is too small to make this a legitimate guess on our part, but just based on what you've seen, limited though it is,
yeah.
Have you seen enough of Jarrett Stidham to think, you know what, that guy could be the next quarterback here? Because I have not.
Yeah, I think he could be the next quarterback. I don't know how good he's going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he looks like an NFL quarterback. And your Tom Brady replacement could very well be a middle of the road, maybe, you know, 20th best quarterback in the league. You're not going to replace the best with the best. There's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. There's a whole bunch of them that you don't think are all that good. That may be the reality for a couple of years with the Patriots. So, yeah, I think that he could. It'd be a huge step down, of course, but I think there's at least a chance that it could be him, sure.
The more he plays, the more I think Tom Brady could basically ask him for anything he wants.
He should be able to anyway.
Right.
But he should be able to no matter what.
And now, leave Skip Bayless aside, who's convinced that this is the guy that Bill Belichick wants to replace Brady with sooner rather than later, according to Skip,
which is just
goofy.
Well, of course.
There is nothing that anybody's seen out of Stidham that says, okay, you know what? We're ready. No.
No, there isn't. But it all goes back to, if at the end of the year Brady says, I want a 2-year deal, and the Patriots say, we would love to give you a 1-year deal, which side blinks? Because somebody will offer Brady a 2-year deal at the end of this. If he makes it to free agency, and again, assuming he plays well and isn't hurt and isn't that Max Kellerman cliff, then he'll have a 2-year offer, and if the Patriots feel like they don't want to give it to him, well, then he's gone. And then you might be whether Stidham is great, horrible, somewhere in the middle, you might be stuck with him.
Brady was, 8 for 12 for 75 yards last night.
Yep.
They only scored the one touchdown while he was in there, but it was a James Devlin 1-yard rushing touchdown. He had a great throw. And by the way, give Ryan Izzo credit because he made a great catch on a great throw, and as Izzo's getting up, I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is that a real tight end, maybe, potentially? My one concern, though, with Brady's performance was not on the same page with Jacoby Myers. All of Myers' catches and yards.
Which means Jacoby Myers better find to get on the same page.
Right, exactly. It seems like Brady knew where to go with Philip Dorsett. And I think we already kind of knew that. And even though it was kind of broken up, remember it was the beginning of the year, then it was the end in the playoffs where Philip Dorsett was used a little bit more and he was good. But Myers, you were thinking, well, could he be another weapon for this offense? And not a good day for him. Again, if you just check the box score, you say, oh, Myers was productive. Unfortunately, not with Brady. And a couple of times where he either gave up on a route or whatever.
And the guy he is productive with probably isn't going to be playing a lot.
Exactly.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, it is our Kiefer Madness Week in Review, some of which will center around the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, some of which will be other things that have happened. The whole station, not just our
Everybody.
Show, the whole station.
That's right.
So that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll get back to your calls on the other side after Trending Now.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keith's a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Nice. Exactly. We don't need you. Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keith is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Well, there's no laws in this clause.
Ain't no excuse. Pick up that deuce.
I had sex.
I like Inge a lot. If you could get Inge, I like him a lot.
They need a guy in a bullpen.
I mean, if you could get Inge, I tell you, I would be interested in Inge.
Here we go, Dale. It's like Friday at noon 30.
Nordway humble brag?
A little bit.
Okay, well.
I had sex.
You know?
Well, hey.
Good for you, Glenn.
Sometimes you just want to shout it from a mountaintop. And if you don't have a mountaintop,
Glenn,
just shout it into a microphone.
Okay.
And that's why you can hear more from Glenn coming up at 2.
I had sex.
Good for you. Again, sir. Dale, it's time for Weekend Review. And what a week it was.
Yes.
We raised over $3.5 million, or helped raise over $3.5 million during the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. So we start with some of the moments from that, including a woman who was on our show, Lilla Woodhouse.
Oh, we loved Lilla.
We loved Lilla. Lilla loved you.
Lilla came in. She was forced to be in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And she was on oxygen.
Yes.
But we were able to get the headset mic on her, and she was a delight.
Very excited.
This is my bucket list. I'm on the air with Dale Arnold.
Oh, that would do
That's
it,
your
yeah.
bucket list? You got to shoot higher than that.
You need a bigger bucket, Lilla. I'm just saying. I mean, that
you
was
didn't have to talk her out of it, for God's sake.
No, but she was very happy. She was very happy about it.
So
and then,
sweet.
Dale, by the end of the interview, you made her day.
One of the items on my bucket list was to get a picture with Lilla. So in just a moment or two.
Two birds with one stone here. That's
in just
good.
A moment, we're going to make that happen.
Oh, wow.
Elizabeth, thank you. Patty, thank you. And Lilla, it was great to meet you. Thank you guys very much for coming in here and visiting with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys. So
she was thrilled. And you
we
tweeted out that
picture.
That happened.
Lilla.
That was fantastic.
She was so sweet.
So many good interviews over the 2 days. One of the best happened on OMF when they had young Carly Tobin. And this was just a sample of it, and it was fantastic.
You know, there are so many amazing people at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. They all make it fun having cancer. Like, so many amazing things happen when a challenge in your life is happening, and it's just amazing and wonderful to have the experience. And I'm going to beat cancer's butt. A few people that I want to thank is my nurse, Casey, and my full cancer doctor, Dr. Mullen, Caitlin Orlando, and everyone here. I just thank all of you guys so much. Making an impact in other people is what's most important to me. When people are going through this, anyone, any age, that you just need to try your hardest and you're going to get through it. And no matter what challenges may come, you just need to keep believing in yourself.
I mean,
Carly blew me away.
Oh, she was incredible.
Oh,
it was incredible to watch that. So that was amazing. Also on OMF this week, they had the very rare opportunity to speak with all four head coaches or manager in the city of Boston.
We have to use that term, but it's so...
I know, they're coaches.
Come on.
So you had Alex Cora, Brad Stevens, and Bruce Cassidy in studio, and then fresh off the practice field on the phone.
He was a little busy.
They had Bill Belichick. And so it was great. So they had it was two segments. And so for the first segment, it was the three guys who were there in-house, and they were talking about their relationship. They were talking about how, you know, what they know about Bill Belichick. And then, second segment, Bill joins the show.
I just peppered these guys about you and being around you and going to your practices. So I don't remember when this practice started.
What is this,
started.
A roast? What are we doing, a roast here?
Yeah, we got some good dirt on you.
No.
Trust me, we got some good dirt on you. Yeah, you'll read it on social media in about 10 minutes.
I'm all over that. I'll be sure to see it. Yeah.
You are.
So I think we finally figured it out. If you want to make Bill Belichick feel comfortable, you just have to have Stevens, Cora, and Cassidy on
just
the interview.
Bring the other three coaches along, and,
so I don't
and
know
he'll be there.
What those guys are doing Monday afternoons, but I'm sure if they want to go down to Gillette, that should be. That
I have
should
a
be
feeling
pretty good.
They'd probably try if they were asked.
They definitely would. Speaking of going down to Gillette, we were down there on Monday, and we talked with safety Daron Harmon about Josh Gordon, and I thought what he had to say about him was really fascinating.
He's a different specimen of athlete. I mean, he's fast, he's big, he's strong, and he has great hands. He can go up, get the ball, he can make the tough catches over the middle on, you know, critical downs, you know, third and four. I mean, not too many guys can cover him on a slant, you know, slant, comeback, fade. Like, he's just... I mean, he's different. I mean, he's a big receiver who's fast and has great hands, and I'm really excited that, you know, he's on our team.
I mean,
That is high praise.
Got you all excited. Well, you were excited
anyway.
I
already knew how good he was,
you were excited.
Yeah.
Then you gave up.
Yeah.
Then you said you'd never trust again.
I don't remember giving up. No, that didn't happen.
Oh, totally did.
Check the tape. Chad can't find it. Lucy can't find it. It doesn't
exist.
And
then all of a sudden, you are back in again.
I was always on board with this guy. Now, he hasn't gotten back to me. Josh Gordon hasn't, as far as living
room. Yeah.
If he wants to stay with me till February, he can.
Because you got to get a room painted and stuff, don't you?
Open invite. Yeah. Well, we could throw some good posters on the wall.
Nice.
We could do that. That might be fine. But just listening to a safety in the NFL talk about Josh Gordon, I thought was great. Just say nobody can cover him running a slant. And so that's why you're probably going to see a lot of slants when he finally hits the field.
Yep.
Back to the Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon. We had Dave Dombrowski on.
Yep.
And so one of the questions we had to ask him was about, you know, the article that came out that Dan Shaughnessy wrote not too long ago, where Shaughnessy, who you'd think is tied in, right? Yep. Hall of Famer.
That's what
baseball Hall of Famer. He said that he'd be surprised if Dombrowski was back next year.
Dan Shaughnessy recently wrote in the Boston Globe, he'd be surprised if you came back next year. I know you did an interview in the USA Today with Bob Nightingale. A year after winning the World Series, suggesting maybe you're on the hot seat. Do you feel like you're on the hot seat?
Well, I guess it depends. First of all, I've learned now throughout my time period that there's just some writers I don't read their articles. So that's a better way to do it. So you don't really know what they say at times. You hear about it through the grapevine.
Yes, you didn't read Shaughnessy is what you're saying.
I don't. Okay. And I do know when people write an article like that. And the one thing I'll say, there's no inside information. I mean, our organization, I mean, there's the people that make that type of decision are John Henry, Tom Werner, Mike Gordon, and I know they're not getting information from them. First of all, I've learned now throughout my time period that there's just some writers I don't read their articles.
Okay.
Now, Dan Shaughnessy,
cut and dry.
Dan Shaughnessy yeah. took to Twitter.
Yes, he did.
Because he said, well, how would he know what's in there if he doesn't read
well,
it?
Well, I literally just told him.
That's how.
I mentioned
you
to him.
You said it to him.
And he also just said...
So that's a better way to do it. So you don't really know what they say at times. You hear about it through the grapevine.
Yes.
You hear about it
through grapevine.
That's what we've always maintained.
Does he have a burge?
Yeah, he must. He must. But haven't we always maintained when a coach or a GM or a player hears something, chances are they didn't hear it. Like they didn't hear it from Dale and Keefe or OMF or
it's
the
always,
Hill.
They, hey, did you hear what they said about you?
A friend of theirs heard it and then they kind of parrot it, but it's different. They say something a little bit wrong. And so I'm sure, and I don't know whether Dombrowski really didn't read it or not, or if he just wanted to kind of give a little zinger in there. Either way, I thought it was pretty funny.
We liked it either way.
But he does not read them. Jeremy Piven was on this morning with the Greg Hill Show, and he was talking about Tom Brady's diet and how Tom Brady looks really good.
Yes,
and Jeremy Piven wants to look as good as Tom Brady. Who amongst us wouldn't?
Food, you know what? I wish I was eating what Tom Brady would eat, because that would be some ozone fueled water. He would probably be having some sort of paleo situation.
Yeah.
Because look, we all love Tom Brady. Let's just be honest. I just want to know what his regimen is.
Because
he's killing the game. Yeah. He's ageless. And I celebrate him. I'm not jealous.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know what's going on.
Well, I mean, I saw recently, though, that you tweeted that the GOAT was Walter Payton. And, I mean, there's only one.
So now we're going to get into the GOAT conversation. So the GOAT conversation, because he did. So Jeremy Piven's from Chicago. So he likes Walter Payton, who, of course, why wouldn't you?
He's a big Bears fan,
yes.
lifetime Bears
yes.
fan. He's all excited about a Bears-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it could be. You could have a Bears-Patriots Super Bowl this year. How many GOATs are there, though?
GOAT.
No, there isn't one GOAT. There's many GOATs.
Oh, there's many
Tom
GOATs.
Is one of them, and Walter Payton is another. You know, Brian Urlacher as a linebacker is another. Julian Edelman, another undersized white boy. He's half a Jew. I'm a full Jew. We're one and a half
it's
Jews.
People. It's
coming Tuesday nights. One and a half Jews. You know, me and Julian Edelman.
That would be a show. Would you watch the Piven and Edelman show?
Oh, sure.
One and a half Jews?
Yeah,
you'd
absolutely.
Watch that? Yeah, I'd watch that.
Is that
for
what
sure.
it's actually going to be called?
Oh, I think that's what he was pitching in anyway.
Pivelman. That's the name of their show.
Do you want to try it again? Do you want to have another one, maybe? Want to lob another volley? I'm
going to
send that one right back, if you don't mind. I want to return serve and see if you can do better. He already gave an option, and that option was better than your option. So he tried to one-up him.
One and a half Jews is tough to top.
One and a half Jews?
Yeah, but he's like stealing it from Two and a Half Men.
Well, that's sort of, you know, it's a little playoff of it.
What did you just
say? It's not a spinoff.
What did you just steal Pivelman from?
Yeah, I just combined the names. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, I know what I did. I know what I did. But so Piven was in studio, and he'll be at the Wilbur, I believe, tomorrow night. So that'll be pretty good. So there you go, Dale. There's the week in review.
Lots of stuff went on this week, and again, to you guys out there who are listening, you're the reason for the $3.5+ million that were raised this week for the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. So I will repeat our thanks. You guys make it all happen. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We have to talk about Jay-Z and a certain NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up in just a few minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
First of all, I've learned now throughout my time period that there's just some writers I don't read their articles.
Ozone-fueled water.
Oh, what are we doing, a roast here?
Yep. No, there isn't one goat. There's many goats.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Patriots fans know full well that this particular Jay-Z song is played at Gillette Stadium for Tom Brady. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Well, Jay-Z had something else to do with football earlier this week. You guys all know the situation. Jay-Z began a social justice partnership with the NFL, saying we're past kneeling now. Got some heat from some of the players in the league.
It was Robert Kraft, really, that kind of made that kinda connection
brokered
happen,
it.
Too, right.
So one of the people who took real exception with Jay-Z's, and then we hear, well, he might become a part owner, and people wondered, you know, mm-hmm. did he sell out?
And maybe, you know, and one of the hot rumors is, not that he's going to be an owner right away, but maybe down the road, and maybe one of those teams actually is Miami. Because they're saying, like, what possible openings could there be? Where are the owners at and things like that? And maybe even Miami, just to add another layer to the story.
And a certain irony in that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins,
yeah.
now
right.
had a fundraiser, a large money fundraiser at his estate in the Hamptons for the current president, Donald Trump. That drew some ire from one guy in particular, Dolphins wide receiver Kenny Stills. He ripped his owner for his Donald Trump fundraiser.
Yes, he did.
I guess you give him credit for having the courage of his convictions. He then ripped Jay-Z over, you know, his social justice partnership with the NFL.
Right.
He was very upset about that, and he was very outspoken about it. So when they went to practice on Tuesday, the Dolphins did, head coach Brian Flores decided to play 8 straight Jay-Z songs when they went out on the field for practice.
I think this is so stupid. I really think it's so dumb by Brian Flores to do that. Now, there's all different ways to motivate players. We had Jason McCourty on earlier in the show, kind of asked him about that, and he was saying, you know, some players respond differently to different things, right? And I just think if you're Flores, first of all, the Dolphins going into this year are already viewed almost unanimously as the worst team in the NFL.
Most people think so.
And so when their owner had the fundraiser for Donald Trump, one of the players, Kenny Stills, was commenting on it, they sort of made news for that. So not a football reason, but they sort of, you know, they were in the news for that. And for the most part, they're kind of going about their business. This all of a sudden brings even more attention onto your team. And I think you're putting even more pressure on your own guy, because this isn't just limited to practice. Like, we're talking about it. It's on SportsCenter. It's everywhere. Like, the NFL Network's talking about this. I just think for a rookie head coach, and it's not like Kenny Stills is Julio Jones or anything like right. that, but I just wonder, is this really the best way to go about it, to bring more attention to your crappy team and to sort of stick this in the face? And Kenny Stills might have even brought up some pretty good points. You know, he was talking about, he and Eric Reid kind of similar, when they're like, hey, Jay-Z, you weren't kneeling with it. What do you mean it's time to move on? You never even were doing it.
You
weren't even part of it.
So last night, Dolphins had a game. Post-game, Brian Flores has his media availability.
Yeah, he's fired up.
And you knew he was going to be asked about his music selection at Tuesday's practice.
What you guys don't know is, you know, I walked up to Kenny in front of the entire group and said, this is a challenge to you to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team, regardless of what's going on outside of this building. The next day, because, you know, there was a lot more attention paid to this than I ever would have imagined, I got up in front of the team and I told them that I support Kenny. I support Kenny. I support, you know, the player protests. I mean, quite honestly, they're bringing attention to my story. So let's talk about that. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped because I fit a description before. So everything that these guys protest, I've lived it. I've experienced it. So, yeah, I applaud those guys who protest. So whether it's Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Kenny, I applaud those guys. I told Kenny that in our meeting in front of the entire team.
So if you feel that way, why play 8 straight songs of Jay-Z?
His claim was he was trying to challenge Kenny Stills, no matter what's going on around, show me that you can focus on what you've got to get done. And look, it was probably an ill-advised plan on his part to begin with.
He's shocked that it made news. I mean, come on.
The Jay-Z thing
just happened.
I will say this. I don't know of any other coach in the National Football League who has talked about applauding the guys who protest and then doing it by name, whether it's Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Kenny. I applaud those guys, he says. I don't think I've heard another coach say it like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how many coaches I've even mentioned Kaepernick specifically. You know, maybe some others. Now, Kenny Stills, for the most part, in football now, there's not a lot of guys taking a knee during the anthem. Remember, it was a big deal for a while. Then there was that one weekend a couple of years ago where they all took a knee, or just about. Remember, even the Patriots, that guy's taking a knee. And then it kind of worked itself out of the league. And it was such a big deal, and they were trying to decide whether they should make a rule or not, or whatever they're going to do. But Kenny Stills of the Dolphins is still one of the guys that takes a knee. And clearly Flores is not going to tell him not to. Like, if Stills was on the Patriots, I have a feeling that he's probably not taking a knee. I could be wrong, but I feel like he's not. But he has here this whole time. I just thought it was sort of a screwy way to go about it.
Well,
this
whole thing is just a mistake on the part of Brian Flores, who's a rookie head coach in the National Football League, and I'll use this phrase again, doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
What you don't do is open up the opportunity for distractions.
Right.
And that's what he did on Tuesday.
100%.
When he played the 7 straight Jay-Z songs at practice, he was going to get asked about it. Kenny Stills was going to respond to it. He'd responded to his own owner, for crying out loud. He was going to say something. Now you get asked as the head coach, why'd you do it? You've got to explain. I know that Bill Belichick drives people nuts around here with his non-answers to everything.
But this is
the sort of thing he would never get caught.
And also part of it. So part of Brian Flores' day was, all right, let's get 8 Jay-Z songs. Let's go talk to the guy who runs the music. Let's make sure he plays these 8 in a row. Don't play anything else in there. Like, so this was a part of his coaching time, was figuring out what the playlist was going to be. Like, that's great. And by the way, these were Kenny Stills' comments about Jay-Z. He said, quote, he's not an NFL player. He's never been on a knee. Choosing to speak for the people like he had spoken to the people. I wonder how many common people that he knows or has spoken to. I wonder if he's read my Facebook comments or my Instagram comments or some of the things people say to me. To say we're moving past something, it didn't seem very informed. So I thought he had every right to say that.
Sure.
It kind of makes a lot of sense. But then for Flores to try to tweak him a little bit, I don't know. And maybe he knows Kenny Stills. Maybe he knows him well enough to say, this is how we get the best out of him. Maybe. But I do feel like you're bringing more unwanted attention onto your crappy team.
By the way, last night in the game here at Gillette Stadium, as we mentioned before, Cam Newton got injured slightly, twisted his ankle, whatever it is. They have said, now he left Gillette Stadium last night in a walking boot, but they've said today they don't think it's anything serious. Everything's fine. But Eric Reed, after the game, who got into his own beef with Ben Watson and is one of the people we mentioned along with Kenny Stills and Colin Kaepernick, he then went out and said, look, I don't want anybody to get hurt here, but if Cam's hurt, you know, we should be bringing Colin Kaepernick in here. I'm just going to say that after 3-plus years away from the game.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's probably
math has caught up to this situation.
How good is he now? I mean, there was the argument then. Well, I thought he was good enough to be in the league. Whether or not a starter is a different question.
Right.
But now you're like, all right, that's a long time away. And at that position, like, I don't know.
But it did come up. It came up after the game here last night. It came up after the Dolphins game last night.
It'll come up again because there'll be a quarterback either this week or certainly week 1 that goes down. And then all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of chatter around that. And then it'll kind of go away.
So Brian Flores, I think, kind of made a rookie mistake. And the sort of thing that you would think in the future, he'd say, why do I even give my team something to grab a hold of if things go wrong?
Exactly.
So that was his explanation last night. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
That's all I could think of when I heard the Chunk story this morning. I said, oh, my God, Burton is sweating bullets right now. He's freaking out. Hey, Bill, anything?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.